the first thing that I wanted to just point out is why Maseches Makos exists at all. Like, what is this Masechta? It's it's a little bit odd. It really sort of should be in Maseches Sanhedrin. Right? Sanhedrin talks about Beis Din. It talks about what Beis Din does. It talks about the punishments that Beis Din carries out. Right? It goes through the different misos, the different death penalties that Beis Din gives. And then suddenly, Sanhedrin comes to an end. And if you've learned Gemara Sanhedrin, the last perek you learn in Gemara Sanhedrin is the Agadata perek. It's the story perek. It's everybody has a share in Olam Haba, except the following people who do not get a share in Olam Haba, and it tells their stories. And then suddenly the Masechta just stops, and then suddenly you start Makos, which, you know, among other things, is going to talk about Beis Din giving Malkos, giving lashes. But why is this broken out as a separate Masechta at all? So the first thing to know is that the Prakim of Sanhedrin are actually, the end of Sanhedrin are out of order. Meaning if you learned Gemara Sanhedrin, you actually learned the 11th Perek before the 10th Perek. That's the way it is in a standard Gemara. If you were to take Mishnah, you would see it's flipped. And the reason for that seems to be to end with a happy, upbeat chapter, as opposed to ending with, here's why we strangle people. Mm-hmm. So you end up with this nice parak to end it. But really, it's the death penalties. And then we go from that into what we're going to see, what we're going to see here. If you take a look on the sheet, this is the first source there is what should be the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Not working with Perek Chelek, that Agadata Perek as the end, but this is the proper last Perek in Sanhedrin. You'll see why I bring it in a minute. Hamisnabe v'shem avodazara. It's talking about people who get a certain death penalty, and it says if they prophesy in the name of idolatry, and then there's a whole other set of cases, and then it gets to zomame bas kohen uboala. Edim zomamin. Right. Quick primer for those who aren't familiar with Edim Zomamin. Normally, a person testifies in Beis Din. Either they're found to be telling the truth or they're found to be lying. That's the normal, you know, result, or maybe they're mistaken. But there is a possibility that they're found to be what's called Zomamin. Edim Zomamin means Edim who plotted against somebody. They actually conspired. And the way they're caught is because they say, we saw this event take place in this place at this time. And other Edim show up and they say, we were there with you when that at that time, and you weren't even in that place. It can't be. It's not possible. And they're caught intentionally trying to incriminate somebody. That's called Edim Zomamin. It's going to matter a great deal in the beginning of Maseches Makos. That's why I'm taking the time to explain it. So the last case they talk about is where Edim came, witnesses came, and they claimed that a certain woman who was the daughter of a Kohen was involved with infidelity, and that there's a guy who was involved with her. And that's a unique case, because the punishment, since she was a Bas Kohen, is different from what it would normally be. So the rule that's brought here in this Mishnah says, Shekol ha-zomamin makdimen la-osa misa. The general rule is that if somebody is an Eid Zomim, they were found to have plotted to incriminate somebody with false testimony, they get whatever death penalty they tried to give to their victim. Whatever you wanted to have happen, as the Torah says, kasher zamam lasos li'achiv, as they plotted to do to somebody, that's what's going to happen to them. Except for zomame bas kohen uboala, this case in particular, because the penalty they were trying to give her is about her being from Kohen, from, you know, Kohen stock. They are not a bas kohen, therefore they can't get that penalty. That's the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And it leads right into the opening Mishnah that we're going to have, which is also going to talk about Edim Zomamin, who can't get the penalty they tried to give to somebody else. So the opening case is going to be, and how many people here have learned Makos before? Okay, so all you're like, we know this stuff already. Why is he taking his time on it? But not everybody's done Makos. The opening case is going to be about Edim Zomamin, who claimed that a certain Kohen was actually the product of an illegal marriage. That his father, Kohen, was married to a divorcee. And as a result, this Kohen is now a halal. So you can't make Edim Zomamin into halalim. right? A Yisrael who came forward and said, you know, so-and-so is actually a chalal, you can't make him a chalal. It doesn't have any meaning. A chalal means he's a kohen, but he's not allowed to do the avodah. There are certain things that he is now restricted from doing. Like, you're not going to do that to some guy who wasn't a kohen in the first place. So that's your relationship between the end of Sanhedrin and the beginning of Makos, is Edim Zomamin who can't get the penalty that they were trying to give, and we start Maseches Makos by talking about what, in fact, they do get. Clear? Understood? That's the bridge from the end of Sanhedrin. But I wanted to show you something further. Take a look in Beis at the Meiri. It's always a good practice when you start a Masechta to learn the Meiri's introduction to the Masechta. The Meiri likes to give you the layout of the Masechta, like what the different themes are that are going to be addressed and how we get from A to B to C throughout the Masechta. And he also likes to throw in added things like, what is this Masechta doing in this particular place in Shas? So that's what I brought you here in Beis. He says, "Va'amnam sidur hamasechios." I don't know about that pluralization of mesechta. Usually it's like mesechtos, people say, but hamasechios. Shebeseder nezikin. Haya baroy lahascha b'mesecha Sanhedrin. He says, the truth of the matter is, Seder nezikin, which we always think of as starting bava kama, bava mitzia, bava basra, it should actually start with mesecha Sanhedrin. That really should be the beginning. V'hu shebetchilas call tevia de uberacious call madon, because at the beginning of any claim, at the beginning of any litigation, you'd starich lachapes ulachzer acher dayanim yara tviosa bifneim. The first thing you have to do is find a beis din. You have to find judges. And if you've learned Sanhedrin, you know Sanhedrin starts with how many judges I need for different kinds of cases. 3 for this kind of case, 23 for this kind of case. Here's who's qualified to be a judge. Do you need an expert? Do you not need an expert? That's all the beginning of Sanhedrin. Logically, if Nezikin is about tort law and what happens when so-and-so is suing so-and-so in Beis Din, then you should start with how Beis Din works. V'haya baroyim kein leva'er inyan hadayanim v'anhagasam b'chol din mehadinim. And it should explain the judges and what the judges do in various cases. Hein shal mamonos, hein shal nefashos, whether financial cases, capital cases. So as far as the Meiri is concerned, that's the start of the of Nezikin, not the Bavas. The Bavas he throws in at the end. He says your start for Nezikin is Sanhedrin. And then, v'samchu alah mesechas makos l'siba asher azkir. And he says, then they go to makos for the reason I'm about to explain. V'hu, I'm at the first bullet point in Beis. I don't know how people are with Hebrew reading. My plan is not to bring, you know, Hebrew and English in the sources, unlike the Shabbos afternoon shiur. I think this one is going to be just Hebrew sources, but I explain as I go. V'hu sha'achar shehutzruch levar b'mesechas Sanhedrin b'inyan dinei nefashos eze yechanek ve'eze yisarek ve'eze yeharek ve'eze yisakel, right? Misana tokef. After explaining in Sanhedrin all the different capital cases and which death penalty goes with what crime, imeos inyan malkos v'galos nigra tachas geder dinei nefashos, since we view lashes as well as going into exile for accidental murder, we view those as capital cases. So there made sense to go into Malkos and to go into the issues of Golos, the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge. And at the end of Sanhedrin, we said you give the Eid Zomim whatever he tried to do to the other person. And in certain cases, you can't give them what they. Wow, that was quick. And in certain cases, you can't give them the penalty that they tried to give somebody else. V'haisa kavana levar ze bezosa mesechta klal eluha inyanim rotzalomar eidzomim v'galos u'malkos b'makom echad v'hu inyan meseches makos. So what we wanted to do was give you one mesechta that would cover the eidzomim issues, that would cover the galos issues, that would cover the malkos issues, all in one. And give it a discrete unit. And that is meseches makos. So Meseches Makos says, this really should be in Sanhedrin. By rights, it really should be in Sanhedrin. But you know what? We just did the whole death penalty thing. We want to give you just something you can learn that's going to tell you about Malkos, about Golos, about Edim Zomim, and that's really what you're going to see here. There are a couple of Agadata passages also in Meseches Makos. Probably the most famous is the one at the end about digesting the 613 mitzvos down to 10, down to 6, down to 3, down to 1. There's also a little bit in the middle, so there will be some lighter parts as well. But it's a relatively dry and smooth Masechta as Masechtos go. Clear? Yeah. Good. Okay, so let's see the Masechta. This is a strange Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to need to clarify it right off the bat. Take a look. Ketzad ha'edim nasim zomamin. How do edim become zomamin? Now, I would have thought, what's the answer to that question? What's the answer to the question of how edim becomes zomamin?
Other edim
come along and say, Imanu ha'yisim b'makom ploni. You were with us when you say this happened, right? You were with us in Mexico, and you say it happened in the Bahamas or whatever it was, right? They're not near each other, right? That kind of thing. The testimony is impeached. Excellent. That's what the next line should have been, but it's not. Instead, it continues with an example of a case that's not treated like other Zomim cases. Me'idin anu b'ish ploni shu ben grusha o ben chalutza. We testify that so-and-so is the son of a divorcee, meaning he's a Kohen, and his father, a Kohen, married a divorcee. Or not necessarily married, but produced him with a divorcee. Oh, ben chalutza, or that his mother had undergone chalitza. Right? What happens in the event that they're not going to do yibum after the husband dies, the whole bit. This is a chalutza, also inappropriate to marry a kohen. Ein omrim yaseh ze ben grusha o ben chalutza tachtav. We don't say, let this aid become a chalal in his place. That's not happening. Ela loke arboim. Instead, he's going to get malkos, 40 lashes. Everybody knows, hopefully, it means 39 lashes, right? It's not 40 lashes. Me'idin anu b'ish ploni shu chayav legalos. Also, if they said so-and-so killed somebody accidentally, and therefore he has to go to the Ir Mikla, the city of refuge, ein omrim, we don't say yigala zetachtav, that this aid should now go to galos, ela lokar boim. Instead, he gets malkos. We don't give him that which he tried to do to this other person. That's the idea. Clear?
Yep.
So people learn this Mishnah and they sort of treat it as being relatively straightforward. But the Ritva points out that this is not so straightforward. How does someone become a zomim when he makes a claim that this guy's mother was a grusha? Like what did you say that enabled you to become an eid zomim? In other words, normally eidim zomim is like I saw Reuven kill Shimon. Right? There's a moment in time when an event took place, and I am saying that can't be. You were with me somewhere else. When he says this guy's mother was a grusha, how do you make him an eid zomim? What do you say to him? It doesn't actually work, right? So the Ritva gives an answer that, no, we saw her receive a get. This is what Ari's about to say. I see it on his face. We saw her in Beis Din receiving her get at this place at this time. So it's not we saw this, the reproductive act that produced him and we knew that she was a grusha and somebody else comes along and says, no, we were there when you say and you were somewhere else or whatever. No. They say, we saw the get delivered. We saw the chalitza take place in a Beis Din at this place at this time, and somebody else comes along and says, no. So they're not testifying about the crime, so to speak, the production of a chalal. They're testifying about her status, and that's what they're becoming zomim with. Clear? I learned that Mishnah 100 times before I saw the Ritva, and it never occurred to me to ask that question. But that's why he's the Ritva.
Rashi says the same thing, right? In retrospect, he's probably asking the same question.
So this Rashi actually is a huge problem. Look carefully at the wording of the Rashi and tell me what the problem is. Yeah, what's the problem with that Rashi? The Tosfos Yom Tov points out the problem. Rashi says, we testify that he is the son of a grusha. Rashi explains, Bifanenu nizgarsha imo, his mother was divorced in front of us. So you're right, that piece of it is like the Ritva. Kodam shenolad, before the guy was born. We don't care when the guy was born, what her status is when he's born. You mean when he was conceived.
Right.
Right? So that's Tosfos Yom Tov's point. But you're right that, yes, the first part of Rashi is picking up on the same thing as the Ritva. What the Edim were saying was, we saw the divorce, we saw the Chalitza, and they're getting caught because they couldn't possibly have seen it. That's the idea. One other note regarding this. Chalutza to a Kohen. The Gemara Kiddushin Ayin Chesamad Aleph says that the Isser for a Chalutza to a Kohen is actually a Derabanan, not a Deoraisa. So therefore, you don't become a Chalal.
Deoraisa, you don't.
Correct.
But Derabanan,
but we're giving him the penalty of Edom Zomim, as though he's a, as though we're talking Deoraisas, right? Meaning, a divorcee to a Kohen, that's a Deoraisa. That's explicit in Parshas Emor. Chalutza is
over
not.
A rav of Edom Zomim, so maybe, so therefore maybe you could say that, you know, they get malchus because they're over a rav, just because they're not saying that he's a chalal d'oraisa. Still in society, they're saying.
So hold that thought. It's a good thought. Hang in there. The Aruch Lanera is going to say something similar. The Ritva's answer is, you're right, the word chalutza doesn't really belong here. Once we say grusha, we often say chalutza. The two just go together. It's like cherishot vakata. Like there are certain sets of things that show up together, and the Ritva says that's what's happening here. The Aruch Lener says no. If you look at the sheet, I brought you the Aruch Lener in source Gimel. He says chalutza. Hiksha haritva. The Ritva asked, ha chalutza who rak de rabbanan? That's our question. V'lo ratzu la'asoso rak chalal midrabanan. The Edom only wanted to make him a chalal rabbinically. Ve'echi lake alze. How should they get malkos for that? V'tirates. De'agav grusha nakar chalutza. So the Ritva's answer was, once it says grusha, it also says chalutza. We just say them together. U'lefiani is da'iti yesh loma, but the Aruch Liner gives a different answer. Kevan de'al kolpanim ata lefi masha paslu rabbanan chalutza lekohen. Ratzu la'poslo la'haziko. This is Ira's answer. Since the rabbis say chalutza may not marry a kohen, and based on that, it would have harmed the defendant, the guy they were claiming was the son of a chalutza, shapir laki min haTorah. Therefore, they get lashes biblically because they wanted to hurt the guy. Dimali imratzu lahafsido mamon sheyesh bo din hazama min haTorah, or imratzu lahafsido yichusa. What's the difference between trying to cost somebody money, where you become a zomim biblically, and trying to cross somebody socially, even if it's only because of a rabbinic law? Fundamentally, you're harming the other guy. He gives you an example. He says, you know, there are certain halachos for sukkah where we say that a sukkah is not acceptable midirabanan. So that's called a sukkah that is not usable, even though midiraisa, it would be usable. Same thing is true here. Even if the harm you would have only caused is derabanan, nonetheless, fundamentally, that's enough to make the person an eid zomim. Clear? Understood? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is the opening of our discussion, and the answer then is loke arboim. We're going to give the guy lashes for having done this. Either if he tries to make them chalal, or if he tries to send them to the Ir Miklat, arboim, you can give him lashes rather than give him what they tried to do to the other fellow. So the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah, and the Gemara says, I don't understand. You started your Mishnah with a question. Your question was, how do Edom become Zomimin? And then, instead of addressing that, you went on to talk about how they don't become Zomimin, how we're not going to give them the penalty you give to Zomimin. This is a classic. People are familiar with what the Savorayim were? So Rav Shri Ragon, in his letter, the Igeres Rav Shri Ragon, where he gives you a record of basically the Masorah, he says, after the closing of the Gemara, right, after Ravina and Ravashi closed the Gemara, there's a brief period of time, a generation or two maybe, in which you had Chachamim who redacted the Gemara. They went through and they reordered things, or they added comments that they felt helped to explain the flow of the Gemara. And he says, for example, the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, for those who learned Kiddushin in school and had that very frustrating part in the beginning where it's like, how do you know there's such a thing as Kinyan Kesef? How do you know there's such a thing as Kinyan Shtar? And they go through all the Psukim and all of that. He says, yeah, that's the Savarayim. They just put that in. And this is very similar in the sense that it's just like, wait, what did that Mishnah do? Before I'm going to go on in the Gemara, I want to understand why the Mishnah was structured the way it was. So, HaKeitzad Eina Edim Nasin Zomimim Ebayelei. Your question, the Gemara says, should have been, how do they not become Zomimim based on what you did in the flow of the Mishnah? Ve'od, and further, midiksani or diksani lekaman, we're going to say later on, in the same parak, in further along, Aval amru lahem heyach atem me'idin, sherei ba'oso ayom atem ha'yisim imanu b'makom ploni, harei elu zomamin. We're going to give the answer later on in the parak. We're going to say, if witnesses come along and they say, how can you testify that this happened at this place at this time? You were with us at that place at that time. That's what should have been in our Mishnah. But it's not going to show up until like Daf Tes. Why is that not what we're discussing right here in our Mishnah? You skip the parenthesized words. Your general rule when you're reading in a Vilna Shas is that parentheses mean skip, brackets, square brackets mean to read it. So the Gemara's answer is to read this way. Tana hasam koi. Kol hazomen magdimen la'osa misa. Our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, was actually referring back to that Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. That's what was going on. We're referring back to the end of Sanhedrin, where it said, "Kol hazomen makdimen la'osa misa." All zomamin get the same penalty, the death penalty that they tried to give to the defendant. This, by the way, is the same Mishnah that you saw in Source Aleph. Chutz mizomei bas kohen ubawala. Other than the ones who tried to incriminate the daughter of a kohen and the guy who they say was with her. She'ein magdim la osa misa. We don't give them the penalty that they tried to give. Elo la misa acheres. Instead, we give them a different death penalty. And really what it means is a different punishment. V'yesh edim zo min acherim she'ein osin bohen din hazama kol ikar. Elo malkos arboim. Actually, no, there it is. There it's a different death penalty. There is a different death penalty. But there are some Edim Zomin who won't get any death penalty. They won't get any Kasher Zamam. They're not getting what they tried to carry out at all. But instead, they get Malkos. And who are those? Our Mishnah. Ketzad, Me'idin Anu B'ish Ploni, Shu Ben Grusho Ben Chalutza, Ein Omer Mi'ase Ze Ben Grusho Ben Chalutza, Tachtov, El Lokes Harboim. If they tried to say this guy was a Chalal, we're not going to give them that position. Instead, we're just going to give them 40 lashes. So that concludes the Gemara's discussion of this point in the Mishnah. It says, why did our Mishnah go this other route? Answer, the Mishnah went this other route because it was continuing from the end of Sanhedrin. At the end of Sanhedrin, they were talking about Edim Zomen who don't get the penalty they tried to give. They gave one case like that where they get a different Misa instead of the Misa they tried to give. Now we're seeing Edim Zomen who aren't getting the Misa altogether. They're just getting Malkos, which has no relation to what they tried to give this person whatsoever. Are we clear?
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Yeah.
If
Edim Zomen happened to be Kohan, why can't...
Yeah, we still... Wait for the Gemara. Wait for the Gemara. It's a good question. We're just not there yet.
Okay.
So the... it's coming up the next couple of lines. But that's the idea. I just want to make sure that part is clear.
And the overarching kind of theme there is that the Rabbanim, it was memorized this way, and then we're just not going to touch it and adjust it. What happened first there?
It actually makes sense this way. In other words, as long as you ignore the fact that in this farm store they sold you two different books, right? This makes perfect sense. You're going from a Mishnah which talks about Edim Zomim who get a different Misa to a Mishnah that talks about Edim Zomim who get a different penalty, not the same Misa, because there was no Misa involved here,
mm-hmm.
but instead of getting you become a Halal, you get Malkos. It actually flows really nicely. The only problem with it is not the topical flow, it's the opening line which says, how do Edim become Zomim? That's the line that throws us off. You shouldn't have asked that question. That's what's that's what's weird in the flow, and that's where the Gemara's answer is to say that it's sort of basically ignore the question line is more or less what they're saying. In other words, ignore that question line. We're just reading it as though it flows straight from the previous mission.
But the question would have been in whatever original oral. Transition of this from generation, it would have had that, right?
Yes.
So it still begs the question, why?
Right. Possibly because once they decide that they're going to break it off and make a new Masechta, you need an opening line.
I could come up with a really...
No, because your opening line otherwise is, Me'idin anu bi'ish ploni. just out of nowhere, we testify that so-and-so's mother was a halal. We need to at least introduce that we're talking about Edom Zomanin.
So why can't you say in what situations are people not Edom Zomanin?
Right, well, that was the Gemara, like the Gemara said, well, why didn't you just say how do they not become Edom Zomanin? But the truth is that wouldn't be accurate, because they are Edom Zomanin. They're getting a penalty because of what they did as Zomanin. So it's not true that they're not getting Edom Zomanin, you know, it's...
They meant the penalty for Edom Zomanin.
Yeah, correct.
How do you give them Malkus if they didn't do any mice?
So that's part of the discussion. That's also our Masechta. Yeah. You're asking the right questions, it's just that we had to get through the pages.
I want to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
I understand the concept of you can't make somebody a Ben Grusha Kutza, because that's just, it is. But if he wanted to send them away for the rest of his life to live in Aram Mukwa, why can't we do that?
So again, that's where the Gemara is going. Go. Yeah, it's going to be Xeris Akasov. Yeah.
He's probably there.
Yeah. Okay, we got where we are. Okay, I have one other thought on the Mishnah that's worth knowing about. I'm just trying to figure out if it's better to go into it now or better to finish the Amud first. I'm looking at the time. Oh, we got time. Let's see this other thought first, and then we will get through the Amud today. Like I said, like it's like an Amud Yomi, so it will be. But it's a worthwhile question from Rav David Povarsky, who was Rashiva in Panovich. When we talk about giving somebody Malkos because he tried to say this person is a halal, or because he tried to send this person to the Ir Miklat, and instead we're giving him Malkos instead of whatever it was that he tried to do, why are we giving him Malkos? What is it? Why Malkos? So we're going to see, as I said, we're going to see Psukim about this. But take a look in Source Dalet. He quotes you the Mishnah. Shira Rabbi David. Ketzad idnu namzin zomin, mi'idnu namzin b'ish ploni, and so on. I'm jumping to the third line in Source Dalet, because the first two lines are Mishnah. V'yesh lidon bedin chiyuv malkos elu. He says, we should analyze this liability for malkos. Ihavi midin chiyuv hazama is the reason why they get this. Because they are zomamin, and this is a penalty for zomamin? Oh, alternatively, Havi midin, ida havi chiyuv malkos milo sa'ane. Or is it because they testified falsely in Beis Din? The Torah says, it's actually this week's parsha, lo sa'ane bereyacha eid shaker, right? You're not allowed to testify falsely in court. Maybe you're giving them malkos for that. Degali kra delokin alav afapisha in bomaisa, because as Ira asked, we're giving them malkos because the pasuk is going to indicate we give them malkos even though there was no deed involved in what they did. It was only speech. Dehine, Bigamara Yalfina Mikra, on Beis Amid Beis, we're going to learn from a pasuk. The pasuk is, V'hitzdiku es hatzadik, V'hirshiu es harasha. We'll see that in the Gemara. De'ede ben grusha v'chalutza, o'ede galus, de'patron akasim, b'den hazama afilu hachilokin. We're going to learn in the Gemara that these people are getting malkos instead of the punishment they tried to give the other guy. Uparech, and the Gemara is going to ask, V'tepuk le milo sa'ane. Why not conclude that you get Malkos? Because the Torah says, Lo sa'aned, do not testify falsely against somebody. Umishani, and the Gemara is going to answer there, Mishum dahavi lav shein bo maisa. No, because Lo sa'aned doesn't give you lashes because there's no deed involved. V'cholav shein bo maisa ain lokin olav. And therefore there are no lashes for it because there's no deed, right? That's the general principle in Shas. There are no Malkos for a crime committed without an action. Except when there is, but whatever. So he's like our case. The imken yeshla histapik. So he says there's room for doubt. Ha'im kavanas ha'gemara. Does the Gemara mean de be'emes mishum lo sane einan lokin kevin davi lav she'en bo maisa v'rakten ischade ishchi of malkos chadash bekrade v'hitzdiku et nasadik v'yeshu as harasha v'heche di'efshel v'kayim kasher zamam filu achi lokin v'af de lo avi mamish kasher zamam. One way to look at it is to say, it's not lo sa'ane, it's part of Edom Zomamin. The reason they're getting Malkos is because of Edom Zomamin, not because of lo sa'ane. That's one way to look at it. You'll find out in a minute why you should care. But that's one way to frame it. O Dilma, or perhaps, maybe the pasuk we're going to bring to show they get Malkos is actually teaching that this case of Lo Sa'aneh gets Malkos, even though there is no deed. The imkein chiyuv malchus lo havi midin hazama klal. In which case, it's not a function of zomin at all. Rak mishum lo sa'ane. It's because of lo sa'ane. That's why. So we're giving him lashes. That we know. But why? We're going to get a pasuk. Is that pasuk teaching me we're giving them malchus because of edim zomimin? Or is it not Edom Zomen? It's teaching me to give them Malkos for testifying falsely, even though normally testifying falsely doesn't give you lashes. What's the difference? Who cares? The guy who's getting hit doesn't care, right? He's getting hit one way, he's getting hit the other way. He doesn't care. What's the difference? Bottom part of Sores Dalet V'Nafkamina, Iba Inon Bazek Kol Dinei Hazama. Do we require all of the rules that apply to an Edom Zomen case? For example, the rule with Edom Zomimin is you only give the punishment for Edom Zomimin in the event that the Beis Din actually concluded the case, came to a verdict based on the words of the witnesses. The punishment for false testimony, lo sa'ane normally, is at the moment you give false testimony. It doesn't matter what the result of the case was. The punishment for Edom Zomimin, though, is only if you got the Beis Din to actually buy it and conclude based on what you said. So which is it? Do they get Malkos once they testify or only once the Beis Din buys their testimony? That's a major difference. It depends. It depends on why you're getting Malkos. Are you getting it because of Edom Zomimin or are you getting it because of Lo Sa'ane? It's a legit question. There are other questions that you could ask as well, but it matters which category we put it in. We're not going to answer that yet. We need to see more Gemara first. But that's the question that Rav David Povarsky puts out there that I think is interesting.
What's the punishment in general for Lo Sa'ane, breaking Lo Sa'ane without the
Zomen? Nothing.
Upstairs.
Wait, so,
yeah, God will do it. But nothing that we can do to you. Yeah.
For Edom Zomen, you're saying you only become a false witness after the case is already concluded, so there's a verdict, and then after the fact, and they've been relied on this testimony, and then after the fact, other witnesses come and say, wait a minute, these guys were with us, they couldn't possibly
correct
have been there, they reopen the case and turn, like, what?
Correct. That's exactly right.
It has to be prior to the execution.
Right, so in terms of the penalty, we only give the penalty if you haven't actually carried out what they wanted. It's a narrow window for Edom Zomimin. Correct. Because the Torah says, kasher zamam, as they plotted, velo kasher asa, not as they actually succeeded. If they have to be good at their job, but not too good at their job. There's a niche there for Edom Zomimin. You'd be surprised, like, based on how much time the Gemara spends on Edom Zomimin.
Like, probably happened like a half dozen times.
But the truth of the matter is that that's true in many Masechtos. In many, many Masechtos, you find that. The cases that are most interesting are the ones that are least likely to happen in reality. And the ones that, and when I say most interesting, like most interesting to the Gemara, the Gemara is going to actually spend time on it. Like, they're the rarest of cases. That's reality. The whole beginning of Maseches Ksubos has this whole discussion about the guy who comes to Beis Din after he gets married and he says that his wife was not a Besula. Then you go through the Gemara and you realize that that can only happen in an extremely narrow subset of cases, so vanishingly narrow as to really be like almost never. But the Gemara spends an awful lot of time walking through what do you do and it can barely ever happen. Okay, but let's see the Gemara. Okay? Okay. So now that we know that we've emerged from Maseches Sanhedrin to say this, we're now about 8 lines up from the bottom. Menahani Mili. How do I know that they're getting Malkos, these two cases that we've discussed? Amar Bishua ben Levi. So Bishua ben Levi gives you an answer. And again, parentheses, just skip it. D'amar Kra. Because the Torah says in the passage of Edom Zomen, Va'asisem lo ka'asher zamam. Do to this person, the Eid Zomeim, as he plotted, but it says, do to him. Lo, you do it to him. Velo lizaro, you don't do it to his descendants. The reason why I don't say, hey, let's call this guy a chalal, right? You ask, well, what if he's a Kohen? I should be able to call him a chalal. No, because the penalty for an Eid Zomeim is only going to be carried out on the Eid Zomeim. It's not going to be carried out on the Eid Zomim's kids. So therefore, you can't do this. The calling him a halal would be something that would carry over to his kids. So ask me the obvious question. Well, no, you can't make someone a mamzer for a zomim either. Or are you just calling me a name?
No, I'm just saying mamzer. Mamzer, we apply it to the kids also, even though they didn't do anything wrong. It's just...
That's true. No, things happen in the Torah that affect kids, but not penalties for a zomim. In life, absolutely. Things happen that affect descendants all the time. The Torah is full of that. But not the penalty for a zomim can't be. So I, but,
just stop it at him.
Yeah, so why don't I invent something new? Let's say he's a halal and it's not hereditary. We had a trivia question this morning. The BJ pointed out we had a Shiva minion at Rosenthal, and he was supposed to be getting into the airport at 8:15 from Israel and then going to the house. And the flight actually came in relatively on time, but he got stuck in the airport. And we had called the minion for 9:30, and people, can't sit around forever. And finally he gets out of the airport, and the way he says he's going to get to the Shiva house at like 10:10 or 10:15. So he said, start, and I'll make it in time to be able to answer and, say Kaddishes. And that's what we did. So BJ was a chazan. So he said, that's going to be a trivia question for Eitz Chaim. When was it that you had a Shiva minion, and yet they said Tachanun? because we ended up waiting at Ashrei. The Shiva minion with Tachanun. So that's like what you created here. Why not create a case in which, sorry?
Wasn't
a base novel, exactly. So let's create a brand new category of halal. A non-hereditary halal. Why not do that? That's what the Gemara wants to know. V'lif saluhu l'didei, v'lo lif salu l'zare. Just disqualify him. Don't disqualify his kids. No, because bo'inon kasher zamam lasos. V'leka, you have to give him whatever it was he was trying to give to the defendant. And this was not what he was trying to give the defendant. He was trying to give it to the defendant, the defendant's kids, and kids' kids down the line. So creating this wouldn't work.
How do you know that? Maybe it was
because
just
that's the status.
I'm saying, okay, but it may not be what he wanted to have.
Right, it's true.
In other words, he may have something in it to get this guy. He doesn't really care what happens because it's a consequence of it, but it wasn't his intention.
Right, it's right. Zamam isn't so much about intention as it is
actuality.
What he plotted. What and his plot of testifying against this guy was going to lead to that problem. Correct. That's true. So that's the first answer in the Gemara. Bar Pada Omer Kal V'Chomer. Bar Pada gives you a different approach to the whole thing. Your first answer was him and not his descendants, and you can't do it just to him and not his descendants because that doesn't fit either. Bar Pada gives you a different approach. Umaha Mechalel Eino Mischalel. Like, I don't know, some kind of Cohen or something. He says, in a normal case of halal, a normal circumstance in which somebody becomes a halal. So the rule is that if you have a Kohen who marries a divorcee, the Kohen's kid is a halal. What's the status of the Kohen himself?
Still a Kohen.
He's not a halal. Hamachalel, the one who generates halalim, eino mischalel, does not himself become a halal. That's the rule. Hacha here, lo halal velo chilel, eino din shalo yischa. Sorry, habala chalal velo chilel. Here you have a guy, the aid, who tried to make somebody a halal and did not succeed in doing so, certainly he shouldn't become a halal. It's a kal v'chomer, right? If the guy who actually makes someone a halal doesn't become a halal himself, then certainly the guy who failed at making somebody a halal should not be able to become a halal himself. That's the Gemara's argument. Yeah, at least when it comes to halal issues. Not anything else, but for halal issues, I think the answer that is true. That's the argument. So, maskif la Ravina, but here's your question, actually. Right. So Ravina comes along and he says, wait, im kain, if that's true, if you really want to play that kal v'chomer, im kain, bitalta toras edim zomimin, then there's no such thing as edim zomimin, at least in such a case. Right? Mm-hmm. He says, umaha sokel, Eino niskal, right? In the event, he says, let's play it this way. In the event that Adam Zoemin are successful, right? We said before, if they're successful, then we don't give them the penalty, right? So that means, if you had Edim Zomin who were really good at it, and they got some guy a death penalty, and it was carried out, the rule is, they don't receive that punishment. So then you should also say, Haba lisko velo sikel, right? If somebody tried to do it and did not succeed, Eino din shalo yisakel, he certainly should not get it. Ela machavar tokid shoni nimeikara. You're right. Okay, so go back to the first answer. That's the okay, fine. Drop Bar Pada in his fancy kavachomer. We don't need that. That's the that's his conclusion. So the upshot of this is still upholding our Mishnah, right? The Mishnah's statement stands. We understand the place and structure of the Mishnah. And now we also understand why you can't give the punishment of make this guy a challah, because it wouldn't go to his children after him. That's the winning argument for it. And then they have to move on to ask the Gullus question. What about Gullus? Why is it that we won't give this guy Gullus, which he, you know, tried to do? Yeah.
Procedural question. You mentioned that there is a narrow window, right? Because it has to be Kasher Zaman, there has to be Gmar Din, but Kasher Zaman, Lo Kasher Asa, but you can't have carried out the Misa. How do you have that by a Chalal? Once you testify and you have a Gmar Din that somebody's a Chalal, they're a Chalal. There's no space between the Gmar Din and the... So once you're Kasher Zaman, it already is Kasher Zaman.
It already is Kasher Asa.
Procedurally, how do you even have Edim Zomim where you're just changing a status and you're not carrying out a capital punishment?
Is the Gmar Din the same?
Because you're just affecting a status change, right?
Unless you'd argue for a case in which he doesn't have kids, it hasn't been carried out yet.
You still made him a chalal.
But you didn't make him a chalal. Oh, because he's the ben. No, you're right. He's the ben. Sure. Yeah. He's the ben. So you're right. It did happen.
Maybe
it was
a moment before Gmar Din.
But then they haven't achieved Gmar Din.
We always talk about that between Kasher Zamam and Kasher Asa.
That's an interesting question.
There's a certain time amount of... Certain amount of time have to pass after the Gemara.
You think the punishment happened already?
At the instant that they succeeded, it was carried out. There's no in between.
Right, I understand that.
It can be reversed, but that's not
right. You're saying it has to be
the Gemara. Yeah, I hear the question. I want to look it up.
Maybe Gemara Din is exclusive to death penalty to capital cases. Maybe it's,
but it's not so.
A different standard. By,
it's not, it, but it's not so.
By Mammonis. Well, you have the same argument by Mammonis.
No, because Mammonis is when they take the money from one to the other.
They could do that on. They could do that. But they don't.
In other words, there is still a period of time between when you say Ish Ploni Atazak, Ish Ploni Atachayev, and you actually say, and now we're taking your money and giving it to the other guy. That can go on for years. This is just a status change. He's a halal. Boom. It's a good question. I don't know. I have to think about that one. Okay, so we said it's going to be at 8:15 to 9:00. I don't hold people late. I think
it's
we're
only 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, that was the.